Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And it's the midweek show of Fiber Talk. Hey, Mary Corbett, last time she talked to us, we were talking about her workspace. And she posted a thing here a few days ago about, or I guess it was last week now, time flies, about she showed her workspace because she said she would, and a cleanup that she was working on. And I looked at it, I thought, what's the big deal? It just looks like, you know, it just looks like a place where somebody who makes a living stitching works.
And right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she's got a neat setup, converted garage, and I know she stores stuff that would normally store in a house because her house is small. But she's got a, you know, she's got a nice area there with a desk and just a nice setup, lots of storage, and I think she's got a pretty good deal. And yeah, I'm sure, you know, stuff piles up from time to time, and you're working on two or three things at once, and you know, taking pictures, and I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Well, it's nice to have a place where, especially if you're doing those, you know, like I have a spot now that's just stitching, and that's really because that's all I'm doing. But to have a desk where you can write and blog and do things like that, and then a place where you can do your photography where you don't have to break everything down every single time.
Right.
Just makes it so much easier and so much more likely you're going to do those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and when she posted that, then I thought, ooh, my table's kind of a mess, and so I tidied up a bit. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just I bought a couple books, so I threw them down there and got a project going, and then I had stuff packed up for when we went to St. Louis, and so that just got thrown back on the table, and you know how that happens, and pretty soon there's no work room. So that's interesting. You're finding a little space. So, cause eventually, you get enough stuff and you got to have a spot for it. And
Right. And what I'm finding now, so the space is good, you know, like the space to sit and stitch. But now as I'm starting to accumulate things for projects to come, so I want to work on some stump work. I see some things that I would like to stitch in the future, starting to amass threads and things. Now I'm at the stage of, okay, now I need a system, because this is great for storing what I am working on right now and maybe one other thing. But, you know, for threads now, okay, I finish a project. I've got, you know, 3/4 of a skein left. What do I do with it? What's a way to organize those things? And what I don't want to do is to, I want to scale this properly. So, you know, what I think sometimes we do, and I've done in the past, is, okay, well, I'll get a little container and it'll store, you know, 30 skeins of thread and it'll be all organized. But then 30 becomes 300 very quickly. And then it's needles and then it's tools and scissors and, you know, fabrics and stuff like that. So I want to find one thing that has lots of space for, you know, for those things, but also ways to, you know, divide things up and, you know, so you can keep things orderly without it all being kind of thrown together.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking around to see what sorts of things I can repurpose for that.
Yeah. Well, that, to me, that's the, yeah, that's your first step, because there's plenty of repurposable stuff. Yeah. That if you just use your imagination, you can find all kinds of things that, wait, I could just put a couple of cardboard dividers or something in this and I've got storage. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. And IKEA actually is fun for that, because they have a lot of little storage type things. So sometimes that's a good place to go. You know, I mean, I could do a toolbox, but a toolbox is kind of not something I really want parked in my living room. So, you know, I mean, I would do that. That would be something I would do. But I'm trying to find something. You know, I'm not at a stage where I need it. So this is the perfect time where I can just kind of keep an eye out for exactly the right kind of thing that would keep things sorted well.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, a lot of people use container store and fishing tackle boxes.
Well, that's what I mean about the toolbox, right? Same idea.
Yeah. Somebody told me for Krynek spools, I saw it somewhere and I've not checked it out, that you can go to gun shops and they have
boxes.
Yeah. Oh, so you know, yeah, ammo boxes, and that that you can get it so that the spools will fit right in, and each has their own little slot. So you know the deal then, yeah.
That's a great idea, and my I'm trying to think of what my dad had made my mom something, and I forget what it was for, but it was something like this. It was like a needleworky kind of thing, and he gave her a box that fit Tic Tac boxes, and she used to keep it. Maybe it was needles or something, I forget, but it was set up so that it was all the Tic Tac boxes, and then you could just label the tops of them, and that's how she kept things.
Well,
so there's
good.
Lots of, you know, I used to, when I worked in a lab, in a different kind of lab where we used pipetters, we had these little plastic boxes that we would just recycle all the time, but they were perfect because they were about 2 inches by 3 inches by about almost 4 inches tall. So they were the perfect sorting box because you could put them in anything and they would divide it up and you could use those for anything. Like they were great. So I might have to find some old lab friends and see what I can find as far as, you know, things like that are being discarded. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking for, is either something that's like a desk that has lots of drawers, or almost like a, what would be great would be an old typesetting desk, because the typesetting drawers, have you ever seen them? Sometimes they use them on things to display things. So that's what that was purpose made for, was to divide up all the little letters that you would use to create a newspaper type.
Yep.
So that would be great. But then the actual piece of furniture that fits in, that holds, you know, 10 or 12 drawers, then you're getting into a monstrous size. So
right,
I don't
right.
think that's.
Yeah. Well, that was like, where, yeah, that I found IKEA was, you know, that's where I found my setup. And that was really, I mean, I had something in mind at IKEA, and we actually, Marg and I were downstairs. Those stores drive me nuts, but we were downstairs to check out, to pick up the desk type thing that I was going to get, when we saw this piece that I actually got, which is a set of shelves, and then a table connects to the shelves, so I have some shelving on top and some below. And nice table, and boy, that's been perfect for me. It's just absolutely perfect.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. And I have one that it's actually an old thing that used to be in Jeremy's room that he doesn't want anymore, that I've repurposed 17 times already. And all it is it's a little metal, and perhaps that's all I have to do is refinish it or just own the fact that it's this bright fire engine red thing. But it's on wheels. And it is about, I would say, 2.5 feet tall by 1 foot wide by maybe a little more than 1 foot deep. And it's just maybe 12 drawers that pull out. So for sorting little things, it's perfect. So it's either going to be for like cake decorating things or needlework things, whatever it is. It's just not, you know, it looks like it belongs in a child's room. That's the only problem. or I'm just going to have to figure out a way to make that work, because it really is perfect. Like right now I have it, paintbrushes and painting supplies in it. But yeah, there's always something like that there.
Yep. So yeah, storage. And now see, when I'm stitching the projects that are active, I have a plastic basket like thing that I got from the Container Store, and that's what sits on my desk. And so on the tabletop. So then I'll take all the threads for a project, or in this case right now it's two projects, and I'll put them all in that basket so that they're all, everything I need for the project I'm working on is in that basket. And then, that gives me one spot that I know it's at. My problem is when I finish a project, I have to remember to take the threads for that project out. So.
And put them away.
Yeah, that's the problem. Right now, there's three projects in, one is finished, and I need to get that cleaned up.
Right.
But
we talked very early on with someone who was doing it in file cabinet or file containers. Do you remember that?
Yes.
We talked about their file drawers. So that would be a way to do it. You could all do it in a file cabinet. But what I'm trying to get away from is now I have 17 file drawers worth of things, you know, so that I have lots of. I just want to get one thing that's going to hold all the stuff. I know this is like the Holy Grail. So maybe it's just adapting the kind of furniture, like you said, because the one that you have, actually, you can put drawers in it. And you can put cabinet sort of doors on it. So there's lots of ways that you can do to sort of close all that stuff away so you don't have to look at it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what my issue is that I don't want it to look cluttered, and because, you know, it's already just by nature cluttered with books and stuff. So I'm trying to keep it as easy on my end so that it looks like a big space and not like, you know, a workroom.
Right. Right.
That's the problem, is that I don't have a dedicated space right now. So, you know, you have to compromise with the rest of your family to a degree.
Yes. Yes, so, you do.
So that's kind of where I am. Yeah. And now I'm just kind of on the hunt for, you know, convenient things that would be nice. So it's garage sale season. You'd be surprised, like, weird things you can find, stuff like that. And I don't mind repurposing weird things, you know, unusual things.
Right.
Somebody was at my house the other day and asked to use the bathroom. I said, why do you have a wine glass in your bathroom on the sink? I'm like, well, to rinse my mouth out, like when I brush my teeth. They're like, well, why a wine glass? I'm like, why can't I be fancy when I'm brushing my teeth? I didn't know that. I happen to have an extra wine glass I was going to get rid of. That's what I used it for. So,
yep. Hey.
So there.
As long as it doesn't leak.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Why can't you be fancy all the time? That's all I'm saying.
Well, see, and like Mary Corbett, and that's Mary Corbett with one T, by the way. You know, she has like file drawer, some kind of a file drawer thing. They remind me of the shallow drawers you might have for blueprints or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, she has those on either end of her working tabletop. So rather than legs, she has built-in storage, and it holds up her tabletop. And, you know, that's, you know, effective use, like, not a lot of space, effective use of the space there. And it's that clutter it gets cluttered in a hurry. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It is. And I'm trying to control it before it becomes a thing, you know? So that's what I'm noticing. Like, even my workspace, I have, an old, and it's really time to retire this because this thing's got to be 40 years old, an old magnetic pincushion. So it's time to actually just go make a pincushion or buy a pincushion. but it's great because it's magnetic, so it prevents a lot of, you know, needle disasters. And then a teacup that a friend of mine had made that I just kind of have one of that I use for all of my thread ends and things. So that makes me happy because now I have a use for this really beautiful piece of pottery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Now, see, that's interesting because I have a mug I got at a trade show, and I keep all my needles. I have little wooden tubes that I keep my mm-hmm. needles in, and you can buy them. Needlework stores have them all the time, just little wood vial tubes. And then I put the number. So like a size 20 needle, I just put a zero on the cap.
Uh-huh.
And so I have this mug, and then, at another trade show, I got one of these, it's, you know, miniature tool belt to go on your mug. And
cool.
Yeah. And so that has all the slots. So it's like a little tool belt, but it has slots that these vials, these wooden tubes fit in. So then I have, I have extra scissors and pencils in this mug, and then I have my needles in each of the little slots, the tool slots for this little tiny tool belt. And that's how I keep those. And so then it, you know, and it's immediately visible, and I can see on the top mm-hmm. which one is the needles repurposing stuff is exactly, yes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to walk around the lab. So my lab now is...
Well, see, yeah, that's where you have a real advantage with labs because there's all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't use a lot of... it's not like my old... So my old lab was a microbiology lab, so we had a lot of instruments and tools that we would use. So there was a lot more of stuff going on. The lab that I run now, we basically cook. So it looks like a kitchen, kind of. It looks like maybe like a meth kitchen. So it's a little Walter Whitey. But so we don't have a lot of those little doodads and things. But that said, we do have tons and tons of jars and bottles and caps and things like that.
Right.
So I'm wondering if I couldn't just cut the top off of a jar, or a bottle and use that, or, you know, there's lots of things like that that we could use. But like test tubes, as you were talking about needles, small vial test tubes would be perfect.
Yep.
You know, or we make makeup. So, you know, makeup compacts would also be great. But then again, so now I'm getting into this to where I don't want to go, which is I have 17 different types of containers to fit everything. And now it ends up looking like a cluttered mess again, because right. everything is in its own type of container. Yeah. So unless you're going to cultivate that cluttered, you know, sort of shabby chic look, then, you know, I'd rather try to keep it uniform.
Yeah.
Because yeah, otherwise that will drive me crazy a little bit.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah. You're all organized. Yeah. Everything's in containers and it's still a mess. It still looks like a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of needles and containers in test tubes. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like there I might break away just because of, from a decorative element. That's kind of kooky and yep. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So yeah. So anyway, yeah, there, yeah. Mary, relax. Your place is fine. Just, yep. There was another thing in Sampler World, the Sampler World group, one of those Facebook groups, Valerie Miotti, asking whether people use cardboard or plastic bobbins and why. It became quite a discussion, you know, because everybody has their own preferred way of storing, right. especially DMC floss is kind of the key. You know, how do you store that floss? And, back and forth, whether it's plastic or, you know, and some people like the skeins. And if you learn how to pull thread from the skeins, then that, you know, that can work really well. But see, the trouble I have with working with the skeins is if I have a usable length left over, I don't want to throw that away. And so then I'm wrapping it around the skein and it never is a good thing. So that's kind of what, kind of what sent me to bobbins was at least then if I had a usable length, then I could, wrap it back around the bobbin and then use it again. So, the skein thing doesn't, and people say, well, I don't want to wrap, skeins of stuff on bobbins. And for me, when I buy a bunch of new DMC floss, for me, I just sit down in the recliner with some bobbins.
And just wind them all.
Yep. And just mindless, you know, watch TV and just mindless winding of bobbins. And it's just relaxing for me, so I don't mind it. But then, you know, people will complain, well, yeah, but if I use bobbins, I get creases in my thread. And my suggestion is don't wrap it so tight. I mean, I wrap it on the bobbins fairly loose so that, you know, that they're not getting creased. The thread doesn't get creased and that works just fine. It's a little bulkier in whatever you're storing it in, but at least, you know, your thread doesn't come out with a, you know, a 1 inch a crease every 1 inch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I use the plastic ones, just because to me they're more durable than the cardboard, but it, you know, what different, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter which one, just your preference and how you store them. And
then how do you sort them? So you write on the bobbin what the number is and the color is, and then how do you store those?
Well, I have fishing tackle boxes. They're hard to get anymore. I don't know. I forget the brand, PL something. Brand, but I have two fishing tackle boxes. One's double sided and one's single sided, and these plastic bobbins fit right in the slots for that are built into that. So that's I store them. So I put the number on, and then just put them in there in numerical order. And
right,
yeah, that works.
Or you know, as I'm sitting here talking, I'm looking on Amazon, and they have bobbins, and then they have a box that all the bobbins go in.
Right.
So you can. You can fit 100 of them into one box, and they're not expensive, really.
Yeah.
So but I can see how that would rapidly get out of control because then you have 17 of those boxes, and.
Yep. Yeah, and people who own, you know, the full set of DMC floss. I mean, at some point, you just have to have a cabinet with drawers to hold it.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of why I'm looking, you know, it's all well and good to have something purpose made for each of these things, but then you have something purpose made for each of the things, and then none of it is consistent from thing to thing, and then before you know it, it ends up looking like a crazy janky mess. So
yeah, that. And then I did want to mention that there's an app that I use. I think there are two or three apps, but it's the one I use is free. It's a free app. Coffee Shop Works is the name on it. It's XFloss, and then when you open the app, it's XStitcher. So I don't know which one is the official thing. But what that is you can put, they have things for all the DMC colors. They have mm-hmm. entries. It's a little database, entries for all the DMC colors. And then you can indicate how many skeins you have in there of each of your colors. And then if you run out, you can just click on a little shopping cart, and it will make a list for you, a shopping list for you. And so then you just go to the store, and there's your list of colors to buy. But where I find it really useful is if I go to the store and, say, buy a chart, and then, all right, I need the threads for it. Well, right in my phone is a list of what threads I already have. So I'm not coming home and, oh, I already had eight of these, you know, and I didn't mm-hmm. need to buy
them. Yeah.
So I keep that up to date. I'm pretty persistent with my DMC floss so that no matter where I'm at, I can do that. And there have been just a couple of times, and I don't make a practice of this because of things we've talked about before, but whether there was a sale, at a Joann Fabric on DMC floss. And so, all right, I'd take out the phone. What ones don't I have? You know, what oddball colors do I not have? And so then I pick up three or mm-hmm. four and plug those in. But that little app, and I think there's two or three others that are similar, but it's really handy to have just for keeping track of that. So yeah, I like that. But then all my other stuff, I use FlossAway bags. I put all the specialty threads and pearls and all that stuff. I just put them in FlossAway bags, and I used to write on the bag, but then, you know, I'd use something up and decide not to replace it. And so then I'd have it the bag mark. So now I just take whatever label it is and just drop that in the bag so that I can keep track of what colors they are. And,
And what's the benefit of not wrapping those onto bobbins the way you do everything else?
The pearl stuff?
Yeah, any of it. Why would you not want to keep consistent across the way?
Well, to me, like your pearl threads, to put them on bobbins, to me that gets way too bulky. So I don't always, I don't mind those. They don't get tangled as easily, so I just put them in bags. But to me, that's too bulky. And then a lot of the other threads already come on their own cards, wrapped, like, you know, the
right.
fireworks and those kinds of things are already on their own cards. So I'll just drop those in the FlossAway bag as I'm using them, primarily to keep them clean. That's all mm-hmm. I care about. So I use that. I use the bags to keep a lot of stuff clean, more than a storage thing. And I don't, you know, a lot of people will use, like Nicole Neville, she'll always show the threads for a project, and she has them on a key ring, in FlossAway bags on a key ring. So she'll take, all the FlossAway bags and for a project and put them on a ring. And I don't do that. That's what my basket's
like
for. Yeah. That keeps you. And it, for her, a really good thing, because she's always taking her stitching to work or wherever. So then that keeps it all contained easily. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't. I have a bag that is really a knitting bag that if I'm going to take a project, and then there's I have a couple of smaller bags that are designed to have a knitting ball in, and so then I'll put the thread packages in there. But mm-hmm. there's a million different ways, but it's a question that comes up all the time. You know, how do you store your stuff? People are always wondering how you store your stuff, and you see some of these designers will show on a posting how they store, and of course, you know, they've got, you know, threads all over the place, and
right.
I can't even imagine that.
Everybody's got their own way.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're basically running a shop just to design with. So, yeah. So anyway, I don't know. It's everybody has their thing, and yeah, but you're right. It's you start out with one, and then it's not really doesn't really work, or it really is cluttered, and then you go to something else, and yeah, I don't know. There's no perfect solution, that's for sure. So, yep. Interesting. Cam Winsloff at Needlepoint Nation started a list. I love these things. List one of your favorite needlepoint hints. And really got some good posts in here from a whole lot of people. This one I did not know about. This is Lisa Christensen Peterson posted this one. There's a right side and a wrong side of a needle eye because of the way in which the needle eye is stamped out of the metal. It's to easily thread, use the side of the needle eye which is indented. That is the right side. Now, I did not know this.
No.
And I never think about it. And now that I read this thing, I remember that I was actually going to hold it under the magnifier and see if I could tell. But that was a new one to me. And several people had chimed in that they had actually been told that by teachers in classes. So it's not just made up.
Yeah.
It's legit. No, do you have a needle handy that you can tell there? Are you stitching?
I do. I can look right now. So, well, yeah, the one that I'm looking at, you kind of can tell.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of an easier way. I don't know that it would be true of every needle, but, and probably some of them more so than others.
Hmm.
But it's definitely worth looking at, especially if you have trouble threading needles.
But you can see a difference, huh?
A little bit. That one just barely, but I can imagine that other ones you might be able to see more. Probably the smaller ones.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that was a new one for me. Yeah. Yep. So, okay. I'll have to look at mine now. What brand are you using? Do you know, remember what brand of needle?
These were just Susan Bates. I just picked up like a tapestry needle.
Okay.
And those, you know, those are pretty big, so they're probably not going to have much going on there. I don't know. But the smaller ones, I imagine, would be because they're really just stamped. There's not a lot of finishing going on.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to check, too. Yeah, so that was interesting. Then BJ Sharath, I'm not even going to try. I always keep all my orts from a project piece until I'm completely finished stitching and have checked for missing stitches. Sometimes I've just needed a little bit of thread for one stitch. Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yes. Excellent idea. Because I have checked at the end and, oh, I'm missing stitch. And rather than keeping all the orts from that project together, they're all jumbled up in my ort bowl. And so then I have to actually get out an actual length of thread to fix it. So that's a good one because that's, you know, I've gotten sloppier, not sloppier. That's not the right word. I've gotten less careful with my threads as time goes on. If I end up with a good length, I'm done with a color or a thread in a project and end up with, you know, a 6-inch piece. I used to save that, but anymore, I just pitch it. I just put it in the ort bowl.
Yeah.
Because I used to save it, and then I thought, wait a minute, I'm saving something, and that's the end that's been dragged through the most holes. So, you know, it's not in the best condition. So anymore, yeah, I'm not saving things as much as I used to, and because I, you know, especially like DMC floss, I mean to be stingy about that, I mean, it just isn't that expensive, and then you know the next time you use the thread that it's you know, that it's a good fresh thread.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, like if I do a length and I only do two or three stitches, then I'll save that for sure. But, yeah, some of those. So I don't do that. But that's a good idea to set aside all the orts because, yeah, you never know. And then especially if you run out of like, you know, you run out of your skein and then you need one more. Oh, geez, where's that? And so if you had a 6-inch piece left over, that, you know, save your bacon instead of having to go to the store and buy one. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a good one. Oh, and then Jan Stone here. My favorite one, always leave a needle threaded with a new thread when you leave your work. That way you're ready to stitch whenever. And agree with that, but see, it to me, I go that next step. I not only threaded, but anchor it and do the first stitch. And
yeah, so yeah. You remember where you are.
Right.
Yeah, somebody else had mentioned that one as well.
Yeah.
And that's become a habit for me as yep. time goes on.
Yeah, because I love that, because then you sit down and stitch. You don't sit down and start counting and figuring out what thread, and 10 minutes later you stitch. You just sit down and stitch, and then you're off and running, mm-hmm. and it just feels better. But you also know that first stitch is in the right spot because you put it there the last time. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. This one, I don't know. I was interested in what you thought. Allison Wasserman Gross, and there was a lot of discussion on this. I always leave a small mistake. If I wanted something perfect, I'd buy something machine made. And then somebody dragged me into the discussion. So, how that worked, but, probably because I'm so picky.
Well, because you and I have talked about perfection quite a bit, so yeah. I'm not surprised.
So, I can't get on board with that one. You know, mistakes happen. That happens. And sometimes they get left. Because,
right.
Yeah, like I just had one last night where I was working on that Orna Wills class thing, and stupid mm-hmm. me, you know, I didn't look, and there's a yellow thread that goes all the way around, and it's just, they're just accent pieces all the way around, but in four places on the center of each side of this square, you're only supposed to do half of the stitch. Stupid me, I didn't look, I got it all done, was moving on to the next thing, and there it was. And I thought, okay, mm-hmm. all right, I'll just cover it up. You know, I'll stitch over it. Well, I looked at the chart, and it's yellow, so it's going to stick out like day glow, and stitching over it was not going to happen. So all that had to get torn out, laying. It was four strands laid, and it just, yeah. But I won't leave those. I won't leave those. I'll tear it all out and redo it before. I can't do that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I find that it depends on what the mistake is. You know, if it's something that is going to propagate through the piece. So if you've counted over a row so that you're in the wrong spot, and now the next row that you sew is going to be wrong, and then the next one you're going to be constantly compensating for the rest of the piece, then I'll rip it out because it's not worth the aggravation you're going to bear for the rest of the piece. If it's something that's visually very striking, then I'll tear it out. If it's something like you and I were talking about, a piece that's a cross stitch piece that's, it's almost like a painted piece, but it's counted. There are stitches in there where it's, you know, two threads that are almost identical in color, and I stitch it in one instead of the other. Unless you're sitting there with a chart counting every single stitch, you're never going to know. So those are the ones I'll leave because it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the aesthetic of the piece at the end. But that said, the idea of intentionally making a mistake and leaving it, I don't think I would do that, but there's, I want to say Quaker quilting, but it's not, it's like Mennonite and Amish quilting. If that's a very particular style of quilting, and if you've ever seen quilts that have a black border and the colors on the inside are very geometric and they're usually very brightly colored, so you'll get bright reds and turquoise and pinks and greens, and all of the colors are very bright. You'll always or mostly see one piece that doesn't belong. So there'll be one red piece in a piece that's all blues and greens.
Oh, uh-huh.
And the idea is that only God can make something that's perfect. So there is the intention, and it is the tradition in an Amish quilt to intentionally put one piece in that's wrong, and it's usually red.
Hmm.
And again, but it's a symbolic thing that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
this is man-made, so therefore it can't be perfect because only God is capable of creating a perfect thing.
Right. Right.
So
okay. Yeah,
I have full
that.
confidence that nothing I do is going to be perfect, so I don't feel the need to add an additional imperfection.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I haven't done one yet.
That's a cultural thing. You know, that's a traditional, and it tells a story. So that I would, if I was making an Amish quilt, I would do it because that falls into the tradition of what that piece is supposed to look like.
Yeah. No, I haven't done one yet that I need to.
Yeah. I don't need to make an intentional mistake. I make plenty of mistakes just by my own self. So.
Yep. Yeah. So tip of the cap to people who are good enough that they can inject a mistake. But yeah, I'd do it on my own. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't dislike the idea of it. I don't. I see the appeal of it. And again, from a cultural perspective, there is precedent for that. Yeah. So. So when you look at my pieces, I can now say, you know, when you poke holes and say, you know, you stitched that cross the wrong way, it's facing the wrong way. I say, well, I meant to do that.
Okay.
That's my imperfect piece, Gary. I did that on purpose.
Okay. All right. We'll buy that. Yeah.
How's that? No, Does that work as an excuse? I don't think so.
No, I'm not. No, no.
That's
I'm
got just me thinking the difference with it.
Yeah. I'm just going with your flow here. No, I'm not. Yeah, no, there's no way. I mean, if I got through a piece and could say every single thing in this thing is perfect, I would be doing a happy dance for a week, but, I've yet to do it and I don't expect to anytime soon, so.
Yeah. Well, you're also very hard on yourself. Your standards for perfection are quite high.
They tend to be, yes. I'll own that. Yep. All right. That's it for the midweek show. Coming up Sunday, very excited, embroidery, stump work, and silk ribbon embroiderer, designer, stitcher, teacher, Lorna Bateman from England, going to talk to us about what she does and how she does it. That's going to be fun. Boy, she does some beautiful work. Wow. All right, that's it for the midweek show. Lorna Bateman on Sunday, and that's when we'll be back. Thanks for listening.
Take care.